that's meant for.
There's always one little bit that won't stick. At least one bit that just won't go in your head.
Forgive me, guys. We have 9 minutes. We should do this.
Cross left, cross left, cross right. There we go. I'm nervous. We ran through it once. The staging part of it, we did in 32 minutes.
Welcome to Film Wax Radio, the independent film talk show. Every week we're visited by filmmakers, actors, journalists, programmers, and others. Sit down and chat about the state of independent film. Today I'm very glad to do a very special show honoring a very unique documentary called One Night Stand, Creating a Play in a Day. I saw this a long time ago. Helped facilitate a rough cut screening with Film Wax film series. It was the second event I ever did, so it holds a special place in my heart. And I loved it. It's so entertaining. And also, I have a good old friend who was actually in it, which was a nice surprise, Julie Greenberg. Known her for about 30 years, which is odd, because I don't think she's 30 years old, which is mathematically impossible. The documentary which we're going to talk about, One Night Stand, I will just say it has two beautiful, talented directors by the names of Elizabeth Sperling and Trish Dalton, and they've also produced the film. And they're both here today with me. Elizabeth's here in person in the studio, and Trish is on the phone from somewhere in the Southwest, I believe.
Tucson, Arizona.
So I was right. Tucson. Welcome for Tucson. She's cutting in and out a little bit, but that's okay. She's whatever words we get will be, I'm sure, just pure gold. So today, and my other guest is Tina Fallon, founding producer of the 24-Hour Company, which is the organization behind the 24-Hour Musical, which is the subject of this documentary. And to describe it in a much more articulate way than I could do it justice is one of the directors, Elizabeth Sperling. Welcome to FilmWax Radio.
Thanks so much for having us, Adam.
Glad to have you here. Thanks for coming in. So give us a little bit of not only describe this very unique fundraising event that happens every year, you know, what it's about, and then also how you came about as filmmakers, this subject. And Trish, if you want to jump in, please do.
Yeah.
The 24-Hour Musicals is a crazy unleashing of creativity that happens from a Sunday night to a Monday night. Organized by the 24-Hour Company, and in this case it was done as a fundraiser for a theater company called The Exchange. They invited amazing talent from across the country, Broadway stars, television stars, Hollywood stars, who came together on a Sunday night. Many of them had not met each other before, and they had never worked together before. They sat in a circle and introduced themselves. The actors had to sing a little bit so the writers could write down what their voices were like. And then everybody went home except for the writers, who had from midnight till 7 in the morning to write in teams, composer-writer teams. They were all working with someone they never met before. So that's why the name One Night Stand is appropriate. and each team had to write a 15-minute musical with approximately 3 songs and an opportunity for a dance number by 7 o'clock in the morning. And then at 7, the cast and the directors, all of the rest of the crew, returned. The cast found out what their parts were, and they had one day to learn their lines, learn their songs, learn their steps, and that evening get on stage in front of a live audience, a New York fundraising audience, and in front of our cameras.
I think as an audience member watching the film, what's so entertaining is, it's that throwing people together and not knowing the outcome, of course, of the chemistry, of the alchemy of that. But the other thing that's really entertaining is that, it's that classic, putting people in a confined space, and then the all the stress that they endure, completely going into it with an exciting sort of upbeat vibe about it, and then by a certain point they're crushed, their souls are crushed, and then they have to kind of, they go through this arc and that emotional of, you know, exhaustion and fear and anxiety, and these are professionals. It's remarkable. And then to come out the other end, and then what you see is the, you know, it's amazing, and it's very entertaining.
It's true. I mean, for us, as producers of the 24-hour plays and now the 24-hour musicals, we've always been really sensitive to supporting our talent. They're there as volunteers. Nobody gets paid to do this. It's a fundraiser. And for us to open up this extremely stressful process to filmmakers, to actually document every minute of the process, was a real risk for us to take in terms of the trust that people place in us. For the past 17 years we've been doing this.
17 years.
We started the plays in 1995 and the musicals in 2007. But since 2009, we've been doing them annually. And but we really trusted Elizabeth and Trish to do this because we really wanted somebody who could be a fly on the wall and not really exploit the stress of this. Because in a world of reality television, there's a real opportunity here to make people look bad. And what we loved about them as filmmakers was that they recognized that the drama was in these talented professionals doing what they do, and not in any kind of interpersonal drama. And I think that really comes across. It's where the excitement is in the film.
I thought of it as capturing the creative process.
Right.
I had this image in my mind of a seed growing into a plant and blossoming, and how if you tried to sit and watch that, you really couldn't watch it all happening. But this was an opportunity to see the very, very beginning of the seed germinating and grow to its complete blossoming self all in 24 hours, like in time-lapse photography.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
A sort of like an hothouse flower,
exactly.
In this case. In your film, it's Richard Kind. Did I get that right? Is it Richard Kind? Rachel Dratch, formerly of the Saturday Night Live, best known for...
It includes Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Cheyenne Jackson, Rachel Dratch, Richard Kind, Tracy Toms, Tamara Tooney, Nellie Mackay, and many other well-known faces and talents.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you have any interest in seeing other people stressed out, or if you love Broadway, or if you love, or if you're interested in creative process, any of these things would be a reason enough to go. But let alone that if you're in New York and you're listening to this on the Wednesday, January 30th, this is, you're going to have a unique opportunity to see a one-night stand in...
And not just in New York. It's at the same time.
It's
7:30 next Wednesday night.
Okay.
Not this Wednesday, next Wednesday, January 30th. Simultaneously, unless you're in a different time zone, but it's at 7:30 in every time zone across the country.
And you're going to be at how many of these at the same time? And Trish, you're going to be in New York, right?
I'll be at the Ziegfeld.
All right, at the Ziegfeld Theater. That was what I wanted to get in there. But how would I then know where to go, for Pete's sake, to know where all the other events are if I'm in... you said there's like, in the States alone, there's 450 locations, including the Ziegfeld, right? So
that's right.
If you go to fathomevents.com...
Click on buy tickets, and then you can put in your zip code.
Oh, that's the easiest way.
And a map will come up of all the theaters near you.
Terrific. I would probably encourage you to do that immediately. Like this moment, stop listening to the show. Go to the internet and plug it in. Go ahead.
It's true. You should buy tickets early.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that I've been doing this project for 17 years, as I said, and unless you live in a city where we're doing it, you can't come see what we do. And so it's actually up on the alumni page for my high school, for my graduating class. And so there's a big class of 87 group going to see it in Eastview Mall in Fairport, New York. I'm really excited about that. But also my parents can go, my relatives can go. So, which is, for somebody who produces theater, to have something distributed to all this, it's so gratifying.
Our director of photography was very excited to be able to invite her friends in Anchorage, Alaska.
Has anything been done like this before? Trish, are you familiar with anything that's been done like this before?
I'm not familiar with any other films on this. Before we started, we researched, and it is an event that has happened in London, in England, and they had documented a bit behind the scenes, but it was a sort of small documentary that wasn't really, was nothing like, it was sort of a group of people that were sort of non-professionals and non-actors, we decided this was so, we really thought it hadn't been done, and that's why we wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that I'm excited that Tina's on this interview with us, because not only was it exciting to film the 24 Hours, but it was really exciting to be in a room with all this talent. And Tina Fallon is kind of one of my heroes because of how much she's put into the event and what she does in terms of how much effort she puts into theater and storytelling in general. And I think to speak to that, on my Facebook page, I've had a quote from Tina from, I think, our first shoot with her, where she said that, and this is my quote, Tina, so correct me if I'm wrong, but she said, the idea that you can take something that is just born and figure out how to tell that story to an audience is an act of love, faith, and devotion. And that really struck me in terms of why you would want to do the 24-hour musicals, or why you would want to, you know, devote yourself to putting on a play for a year. It is sort of this act of love and devotion, and that's what I hope comes through in the film, and I think what really ends up touching people. And I can remember in our FilmWax screening, can you explain the group a little bit, Adam? Because it was not a theater group. It was a bunch of, like, your dude friends from Brooklyn watching the film, and they really liked it. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that, if you remember that audience as your response.
Yeah, well, you know, a rough cut screening is a little unique, and I can't remember. I think what we did, we tried to invite people generally, and then we also just, I think, at the right, we then opened it up also, like we didn't prevent anybody.
It was in the back room of a bar,
yeah,
so some people came in from the bar.
Okay.
A real variety of people.
And yeah.
I remember especially, we were talking afterwards about whether to give extensive introductions in the film of our writers, one of whom was pregnant. And one of the people said, no, you can't cut the pregnant lady. It's all about giving birth. The whole film is about giving birth.
I didn't remember that. That's clever, though. What an observation.
They were very insightful.
You know, that's the thing. I think when you do a rough cut screening, it's the idea is not just to do a Q&A. That's not really the purpose. You do a rough cut screening because you have a film where you're still needing to fine-tune it, or maybe even more extensive changes. And you're really looking for very specific feedback. And so when that's the portion of the event that's really the important part. And so it's apt to be a real process of discovery, because, you know, you have in mind, oh, these are the kinds of things I'm concerned about. But then all these other things come up that you could never have anticipated.
I think one of the things that's funny about this for me is that this is an event that we did that takes 24 hours from start to finish. And for Elizabeth and Trish, this is a labor of love and devotion that has taken years and years. Mm. And I'm really in awe of that, of their talent, and of their ability to put together this 450-screen, one-night-only showing, which I think is the best way to translate into, for a film audience, the excitement of live theater, is that if you want to see it, you have to go on January 30th, or you're going to miss it.
In the United States.
In the United States. If you're Canadian, you get a whole month of a run.
Right, it begins February 1st? Yeah.
First.
Thank you, Trish. As far as that FilmWax screening, I don't have a... I just know that most people that come to those screenings are highly intelligent people with great taste. And what is it about the process that is so fascinating, that people love to watch films about artistic process? Because is there, you know, like, even people that are not artists, I think it's a real, you know, pull for people. Like,
well,
a real interest.
I think to say, even people who are not artists, most people are artists in some way or another. Even if you're, for example, I'm a real estate agent in my day job.
What?
I am. And in part because I couldn't hack it in the world of independent film. It wore me down. I couldn't take it. It was so cold-blooded. And so I became a real estate agent for the humanity of it. I think that most people, even if you have something else that you do in your day, you are an artist in some way. You go through a creative process. And so I think people relate to it. And one of the things that I love about this film is that it shows that these aren't people who were just born with talent. These are people who work incredibly hard to get to where they are. And it's nice to see that work every once in a while. I think it's nice to see that there's a process behind it. And that there's a reason why if you've committed 20 years of your life to learning how to sing and dance, when you're asked to do it in one day, you can pull it off.
On the corner of South Street and Whitehall, there's a ferry terminal, a little shack that's meant for only me. Now that my life is in free fall, all that I can say is fuck it all. Let's hoist the sail, set this ferry off to sea. Everything is real on Staten Island. A Staten Island man is always free. Where the island breezes blow, that's the place I want to go. Staten Island is the place for me. Christmas trees are real on Staten Island. Jolly elves deliver gifts with glee. Crystal candy raindrops dance. A pot of dough, they live and learn in France. Staten Island is the place for me. No one knows my face on Staten Island. No one ever saw me on TV. They never know my name or understand my Ponzi game. Yes. Staten Island is the place for me. And when I get there, when I get there, bearing suits of the finest gabardine.
The people that are in this pressure cooker, but these are seasoned professionals, actors, songwriters, directors, everybody, choreographer. I mean, these are very seasoned. And yet, even though they're under stress and they don't think they're going to pull off these mini productions in such a tight schedule, they all do have toned muscle when it comes to doing these jobs. And it's at that, at the end of the 24 hours, which... there's no way this is not going to be highly entertaining. There's flubs made. There's obviously some things that were never finished. And, you know, like, I mean, people. But, you know, and then there's also, because of that same level of professionalism, comes the bar is so high that even in a thing like this, they don't want to fail. And there's such a desperation that these guys have that where they're so afraid of failing, even though they realize once they're there, oh, this is, we're going to have fun with it.
Yeah.
And then they do. And then the audience is just blown away. Both the in-house audience that's there at the fundraiser, as well as, I think, the audiences watching the film.
I think so, too. And I'm really glad that they captured this particular production on film, because every time we do them, it's totally astonishing.
Do you film them all?
We don't film them all.
Oh my goodness! That seems like a natural thing.
I know it does seem, but we're theater producers, so we try to stick with what we're good at.
Yeah.
Unless Elizabeth and Trish are filming it, I don't want anybody else filming it because I think we really have to be protective.
You're listening to FilmWax Radio, and today's guests are our filmmakers, Elizabeth Sperling here in the studio. We had the lovely Trish Dalton, and somewhere in the American Southwest, Tucson, Arizona.
That's where we believe
she
is.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, great. That's where we're supposedly where you are. And then Tina Fallon, who is with the 24-hour company. I have a couple of questions, but one thing is the 24-hour musical more challenging because of the other dimensions, because you have the song and dance, and it's not just a straight play? I imagine those components make it that much more challenging.
It's outrageous.
Than a dramatic.
Yeah, it makes the regular 24-hour plays. We do 6 short plays in 24 hours, and been doing it 17 years, and now it's like clockwork. It's pretty straightforward. What makes it really difficult for us as producers is actually the moment during the overnight when we have to take these songs and these plays, and we have to get them into some, reduce them into some form that we can then reconstitute for the producing teams the next day. So to get a MP3 recordings of the scratch tracks of the, we have copyists who actually do the, transcribe all of everything into sheet music. So that part is very, is very complicated. It's much more labor intensive than the regular plays.
Yeah.
And the actors also really feel the difference. A lot of them commented to us, well, I've done 24-hour plays before, but this is something totally different.
Yeah. Maybe that's an appeal, too, even though it's a lot more stress, maybe? I don't know. It could also be part of the challenge and the appeal of pulling it off.
I know writers. I'm married to a writer, and I understand the writing process.
Mm-hmm.
But composers, to me, are like circus freaks.
Yeah.
What they do, their ability to do it is astonishing to me, and it's like a magic trick.
It is, yeah.
So for me, getting to see that happen, and they, with the playwrights combined, the writing sets the bar so high that even these people who've been singing and dancing, you know, triple threat people like Cheyenne Jackson, who can do anything, are still really inspired to do their best work through the day. And I think that puts real pressure on them. They just don't feel like they can't just half-ass it. They really have to do a good job.
Trish and Elizabeth, how did you guys end up approaching Tina, if indeed that's how that worked initially 2 or 3 years ago when you launched the idea for this documentary? Trish, can you speak to that?
That's traditionally a question that I start the answer to.
Oh, then I don't want to break with tradition. You start it, and then Trish, you interrupt her. All right, so.
No, we have our stick down. Just start talking.
I was a new documentary filmmaker on the hunt for a new idea at a latke party in New York.
Uh-huh.
A holiday party thrown by Ari Adelson, who is the director of a theater company called The Exchange.
Uh-huh.
And my brother happened to be at the same party. My brother is a musical director and a Tony Award-winning orchestrator.
Is that right?
And they were talking about this new project that they had, the 24-hour musicals, and I asked them what it was about, and they explained it to me. And immediately it hit me that this would make a great film. And I said, this would make a great film. It all happens in 24 hours, has a clear beginning, middle, and end, has a lot of stress and music and joy. And they said, well, that's funny you should mention that, because we need a videographer to videotape the process and then edit and show a 5-minute video right before the show so that the audience there can understand how these plays were written, what has transpired in the previous 23 hours to make this 24-hour happen. Exactly.
I see.
I thought about it for a couple of weeks, and I decided to take it on, and then I, of course, needed collaborators. I needed a camera at least for each musical, for each writing team, and one great camera person I knew in New York was Trish Dalton, who holds a documentary film club, or used to hold a documentary film club where a lot of filmmakers attended. So I went to Trish.
Were you guys pals, or did you just kind of know her through the circles?
I knew her through an old friend, mm-hmm. and I had been to her film club a couple of times, and we had lent each other equipment, but I didn't know her well at all.
Okay.
And this is where I step in. Yeah, so she came to me with this idea, and I was supposed to go to Sundance. It was January of 2008, and I said, you know, this is going to take a lot of work, it's going to take a lot of favors, it's going to mm-hmm. take at least 2 weeks of production. I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't pull all my favors of people that I know for no money. It's crazy. And then we kind of said, then she told me about the caliber and the talent that were going to be involved. And I thought, you know, I would really love being in the room with those people when they're coming up with the ideas, when they're writing the song,
right?
And see how they do it. And so I decided to take the risk and to pull all of the favors and for 2 weeks and pre-produce it, and I came in, and within the first hour, Elizabeth and I looked at each other while all the talent was in the room doing the we call it sort of the audition, but really all the people sharing their voices and their jokes, and we were already in awe of the talent and really thought that we could, you know, it was worth it. It was worth trying, and mm-hmm. so That's how we started, and then we were both in. And here we are 5 years later.
Everybody on our crew worked for free that year, and at the end of it, one of them came to us and said, I've never thanked anybody before for letting me work for them for free, mm-hmm. but this was just such an amazing experience. I have to thank you.
Wow. I want to thank everybody, too, for coming and making this show possible, which we pulled off in far less than 24 hours, I want to add. The documentary is called One Night Stand, Creating a Play in a Day, which is succinctly, in a nutshell, what this documentary is about. It's a lot about artistic process, about, you know, collaboration, creativity. I mean, but it's a highly entertaining documentary, which you could just watch for and enjoy yourself for
74 minutes.
74 minutes.
Oh, plus a 20-minute extra documentary that we just made following up with the stars that you can only see at the Fathom event.
At the Fathom event, which is, if you go to fathomevents.com.
January 30th at 7:30. That's next Wednesday. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, 7:30.
And you just enter your zip code into the website.
Yep.
And it'll tell you the close theater near you. I mean, it's playing everywhere, in every town and city across the country, as far as we can tell. It's playing in Anchorage.
It's playing in Peoria.
This is another show with just for the... We'll bring in the persons who helped coordinate this amazing idea and executed it. Well, we're about to execute it in about a week, so I really look forward to you guys coming back and describing how this whole thing gets pulled off, and I'm sure... So promise to come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Tina Fallon.
And I want to urge audience members to bring their friends, because there is this just one opportunity, and they don't want to walk out of the theater thinking, oh, I wish I invited so-and-so.
Right. And that's Elizabeth Sperling, one of our two filmmakers and producers. And on the phone, thank you, Trish Dalton, my old friend. And
thank you.
This has been Adam Shartoff, FilmWax Radio at bboxradio.com. Thank you very much, everybody, and for listening.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks.
Wherever we go, whatever we do, we're gonna go through it together. We may not go far, but sure as a star, wherever we are, it's together. Wherever I go, I know he goes. Wherever I go, I know she goes. No fits, no fights, no feuds, and no egos. Amigos, together. Through thick and through thin, all out or all in, and whether it's win, place, or show, with you for me and me for you, we'll muddle through whatever we do together, wherever we go. We're gonna go through it together. Wherever we sleep, if prices are steep,
we'll always sleep cheaper together.